What if the big Jeffrey Epstein client list reveal finally dropped and it blew open the narrative about Donald Trump being an innocent bystander? In today's episode, I'm breaking down over 20,000 pages of newly released Epstein emails and documents from the House Oversight Committee, plus what I personally dug out of the files. We'll talk about Trump, Thiel, Bannon, Obama's White House counsel, Michael Wolff, the dog that hasn't barked, and why both the left and the right are scrambling to spin this story. Now, on to some bad news for my free feed losers, all right? I love you guys dearly. I know most of the people in the Spotify comments don't understand my humor. It's a joke. Of course, I don't think you're a loser. And it's based on 80s wrestling. So if you want to blame anyone, blame Hulk Hogan, I guess. No, I guess it was like the heels. Ravishing Rick Rude was my favorite, all right? Not my favorite, but one of my favorite heels. Anyway, today is the bad news. This is the bonus show, and this was just pure dumb luck, because every month I do a bonus show for my supporters only as my way of saying thanks for keeping the show alive. And as the fate would have it, this happened to land in the week that I needed to come up with the bonus show, because I wanted to drop this on the free feed, but I've got other plans for my ad fills. Shout out to James over at copymycrypto.com. Go to copymycrypto.com/Isaac, 2 A's for double awesome. Get him for $1. He's my longtime sponsor, and I got ad fills, right? And then also on top of that, I've got another show that I've got planned on the schedule that you're really going to love. I did a 2-part special analysis on a mystery subject to be revealed with the great Joel Thomas that we're going to swap cast. Stay subscribed for more on that, because that's going to be a super banger. And on top of all that, this episode is too hot for the YouTube channel. I'm sorry. It's how the system is. I'm not one of those privileged guys with the connections to prevent myself from getting torched, obviously, because I'm rebuilding my YouTube for the third time. And if you haven't subscribed, add a cult symbolism. Help me get to 100K. I'm going to be a good boy. I promise I won't say anything bad on here. All right. Thus, this is a bonus show for the supporters, and I want you to be there, right? You can get in there for less than the price of a cup of coffee.
Cup of coffee in the big time.
You can get in for less than the price of a cup of coffee. In fact, I'm even going to do my very rare promo coupon code offer. So, because I want you to hear this whole episode, and I want you to unlock my monthly bonus episodes. I'm going to break down just what 2025 has got for bonus episodes you may have missed. And there's hundreds more where this came from, including a 55-episode Twin Peaks deep dive. We did a breakdown of the film Weapons. We talked about the Carly Churk incident. And I tied it with James Shelby Downer, King Kill 33, which was a fascinating take on it. We did another show about Epstein's birthday book, where I went through that. I did a film analysis of Sunshine. We talked about Ozzy Osbourne and his occult connections. We talked about a 3-episode arc on deep diving into James Shelby Downer's King Kill 33, a very important document. If you're a truther with any, what's the right term? If you think you're a truther, you better know James Shelby Downer. Okay. And I walk you through it for 3 full episodes. We talk about the film Heretic. We talked about the Blue Origin space ritual. Oh man, that felt like 10 years ago. That was so long ago. We talked about the Epstein Files Phase 1, the white binders, which we're going to pick on today again. We talked about Ye and Elon and the LA fire conspiracy. So unlock all of it for $1. My goodness. You can get in my Patreon for $1 or VIP section for $1. You know, because I know the economy sucks. I know gas isn't $1.89 anywhere. And I know groceries are definitely not cheaper than they were a year ago. So go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Use promo code DRAMA, DRAMA. And get in there for $1. Expires in less than 2 weeks, November 30th. So get in there. Do what thou wilt with it. It's my early Black Friday sale, all right? And I want you to get in, unlock it all for $1 for the first month for tier 1. Tier 2, you get the video version of the show. That's $2, okay? And that also goes for the IlluminatiWatcher.com VIP section. All right, moving on. Oh, and if you sign up for the supporter feed, you're going to get a 10% off merch code where you can get this. I'm sporting the coveted, elusive Trump shirt with the skull and crossbones, and on the back it says Epstein didn't kill himself, because we all know that Epstein did not kill himself. Is he alive? I think he might be alive. Anyway, all right, that's my ramble. Be sure to light me up in the comments about how all I talk about is selling stuff and whatever, because that's what I do. All right. Next, I'm going to give you a quick background of how we got here, right? FBI Valhalla Chief Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, podcaster, Department of Justice Pam Bondi, who I think she represented a certain something before she became Department of Justice. What was she doing before? Man, what was it? Anyway, they all told us there's no such thing as Epstein files. It's all fake news. Then the House of Representatives finally showed up to work after Speaker Mike Johnson had them on a two-month vacation because he was trying to avoid swearing in the newly elected Democrat who now gives the Democrats the numbers needed to force the release of the Epstein files. So they swear her in yesterday. Meanwhile, Trump's allegedly scrambling behind the scenes and meeting with Nancy Mace and Lauren Boebert, begging them to stop asking for the release of the Epstein files, which, again, don't exist. And then the House Oversight Committee drops over 20,000 documents on their website. You know, emails, photos, all kinds of stuff. And you can download it right from their website, which I did. And Trump immediately goes on the defense on Truth Social. He says, in other words, the Democrats are using the Jeffrey Epstein hoax to try and deflect from their massive failures, in particular their most recent one, the shutdown. So apparently it's still a hoax. It's still a hoax. 20,000 documents about nothing. A figment of your imagination. Even though he ran on releasing them, even though he did a whole publicity stunt for the phase one white binders with all the MAGA stream media folks, right? And today we're going to find out why he wants you to think it's a hoax, because it blows open a lot of narratives about who's connected to who, right? And I wanted to talk about this because, look, I always like to pick on my MAGA brothers and sisters, and I try to be gentle because I know most truthers, for whatever reason, drank this Kool-Aid, and I am proud to be one of the very few that did not, and I've been saying that for 10 years now. So today, you know, no shorts, no losses today. We got proof. So, and my disclaimer as always, because I know I'm going to read comments and one-star haters in the reviews. I don't care if you're left or right. I really don't. Most of the people I'm friends with, most of the people that I like, most of the people I look up to, they're right wingers. So like, it's not I hate conservatives, even though I'm moderately left, you know, my social views, I should say, but I don't align to the Democratic Party. I'm an unaffiliated voter. Anyone can have my vote. I've literally voted for Republicans in the past. This is different. This is a conspiracy. This is what the truthers were supposed to be covering, and they totally dropped the ball on you. I am not, though. I will stay with it, right? This is the biggest conspiracy of our generation. People prior to us had JFK's assassination. We've got the Epstein files. Okay? So, don't come at me with this whole woke granola eye thing. Okay, I get it, right? But that's not true here. Because the right path forward is a moderate blend of the two left and rights. That's what I want. That's the best way forward. So it's not an attack. I know MAGA gets real triggered by what I say. You're gonna see it in the comments. Take a look at the reviews. Take a look at the comments on Spotify. You're going to see it. This is an exploration of the MAGA PSYOP that I've been campaigning for and talking about for, like I said, almost 10 years now. I did many episodes on QAnon being a PSYOP. And look, I don't get paid big bucks to promote MAGA or any left or right wing BS. I'm a one-man army. I say what I want. And I like to say the truth. So you're not going to hear some of the stuff. I've been keeping my eyes on the pulse of what people are saying about this. And, you know, I'll let you, you're smart people. I'll let you decide. Take a look around. See what people are saying. See who's actually fair and balanced. And I'm going to cover a massive mix of what I found online, on the news, on Reddit, and what I personally found digging through these files. This, of course, will not cover everything. It would take weeks to go through all of the documents that they released. Okay. So let's start out with what I found. We're going to start there. And then we're going to work our way out, and then I'm going to talk about the forces that are doing this damage control and all kinds of crazy stuff that's happening, all right? Okay. So, let's start out with file 031340, and it shows Paul Krassner sending Epstein an email commenting on how crazy Alex Jones is. And the subject line is, Jones is crazier than Trump the elephant. And the link that he provides is an article that says, you're going to get it or I'm going to die trying, B-I-T-C-H. Alex Jones issues stunning threat to Mueller and pantomimes shooting him. And the email quotes chunks of the article, and it describes Alex Jones ranting on InfoWars. It describes Robert Mueller covering up for Epstein and saying that Mueller was doing bad things to kids. Then he talks about a shooting or whatever. And then it ends with, you're going to get it or I'm going to die trying, B-I-T-C-H from Alex Jones. My point is that Paul Krassner, he's passed away, but interesting because I never heard his name connected in with Epstein before. So that's, I mean, I'm not the expert on Epstein. I spend way less time on it than like Whitney Webb would perhaps, but that's news to me. File 015032. It's a full manuscript of a Paul Krassner book called 60 Years of Investigative Satire, The Best of Paul Krassner. And I've never read Paul Krassner, but in it, he criticizes Kathy O'Brien and reaches out to Michael Aquino. That's right, the founder of the Temple of Set and so on, to ask about Kathy O'Brien's claims that she makes in Transformation of America. And also in that book, I was reading in the file because the file is like a manuscript of the entire book. So this is what it says in the book. It says, how could I distinguish truth from lies if truth was cross-fertilized with greed, the need for attention, false memory, speculation, fantasy, self-delusion, and intentional propaganda? I contemplated the implications of something that Michael Aquino had told me. Part of what we learned in PSYOP was that it's not just the propaganda you create that is a factor, but the pre-existing propaganda filters in target audiences' brains as well. The key has to be designed to fit the lock, so to speak. And underlying all this is the challenge to the psy operator to extricate himself from his own filters, otherwise he will see the situation only through his personal distortions and thus be inept at influencing it objectively and comprehensively. Michael Aquino also in the, what was he, colonel in the army and ran the psychological operations division. Fascinating character. He died not too long ago. I mean, there's conspiracies about whether he died or not also. So Paul Krassner and Epstein, apparently, I don't know. I would ascertain that maybe they had conversations about this. And I long time have stood by the idea that the QAnon was an entire psyop. And this sort of supports that in a way, right? I'm not saying smoking gun or nothing like that, but they understand how psyops work. So I'm sure Paul Krassner and Jeffrey Epstein talked about this, especially with Epstein's intelligence connections and so on. Consequently, propaganda can become a two-way street. For example, Corey Hammond, former president of the American Society of Clinical Hypnosis, has had many clients who, under hypnosis, remember hideous incidents of satanic rituals, infant sacrifice, sadomasochism, and coprophilia. Get that poop-eating grin off your face. Dr. Hammond believes that three groups working together, neo-Nazis, the CIA, and NASA, have been programming American children for over 50 years to make them part of a satanic order that will rule the world. I mean, let's take a step back. Why is this in the files? Why was this involved with Epstein and this Paul Krassner? Why were they talking about all this? I think this proves that there is an occult connection mixed in with brainwashing and political theater and psychological operations. And this is proof of that. Okay, next file, 019871. It appears like Epstein is sending notes to himself, and it's a bunch of weird philosophical ideas and lists of names that are apparently important to him. Jamal Khashoggi, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Khashoggi, which he was that journalist from Saudi Arabia that was assassinated. And, you know, when you get into the Middle East, you get into certain theories that get pretty crazy real quick. And Jeffrey Epstein obviously involved with all of that. He also wrote the name Prince Andrew, Bill Richardson, Bill Clinton, Donald Trump. All of these are people in the files, right? Woody Allen, Leon Black, Larry Summers, Peter Thiel, all these names. And interestingly enough, a lot of these people are in positions of power right now. Then he talks about weird philosophy stuff. He says beards and long hair are meant to catch and hold smells. What? Skin is part of brain. Nose test, telepathy. Only six senses. FFT, Fourier transforms, which I found interesting because in my engineering classes in college, we talked about this, is fast Fourier transforms. So, I mean, he was into some deep type of technology talk. Power laws and probability, gravity, is space knotted, numbers, not good for many things. And that made me think of numerology and gematria. Like maybe he was questioning the power of those things. I don't know. I'm just spitting out crazy ideas. Then he's got some weird communications with Kathy Ruemmler, who was Obama's White House counsel. If you read through file number 028853, it goes like this. September 19th in 2014 at 1:21 a.m., Epstein's up late, he wrote, "You need to talk to boss." Next morning, Kathy replies, "Agreed, but I need to be prepared to say yes before I talk to him." Then Jeffrey, which is his email address is jeeevacation@gmail. Weird. Understood. It comes down to high risk reward, low risk reward, professional, emotional, and financial. Then Kathy replies, "Most girls do not have to worry about this crap." Then Epstein writes, "Girls, in quotes, careful, I will renew an old habit. This week, Thiel, Summers, Bill Burns, Gordon Brown, Jagland, Council of Europe and Noble Chairman, Mongolia Prez, Hardeep Puri, India, Boris Gates, Jabor, Qatar, Sultan, Dubai, Coslin, Harvard, Leon Black, Woody, you are a welcome guest at any. Also, if you think there are interesting people in town, everyone here for Climate Summit, Clinton, Security Council, holy poop, I'm on for the next 30 minutes. So he's talking about, so he's apparently cozy with this White House counsel lady, Kathy, what was her name? Trying to go through my notes. It's kind of confusing. I got two sets of notes I'm trying to navigate here. Kathy Ruemmler. And he rattles off a bunch of names there that are real interesting, you know? And that's what I'm saying is some of the stuff isn't smoking gun, but some of the stuff is pretty interesting that these same names keep popping up. And it's presumed that she knew about the girls thing. Like, why would Epstein say that to her? Unless she was, you know, in on it or whatever. But it was 2014, so it was after he was already convicted, right? Then he says, no, then she says to him, "Doesn't look like you are prioritizing your schedule very effectively. How are you going to manage all of that? This is Unga week, so the boss will be in town too. I'll be here all week. You may get sick of me. Just sat down on the train, so can't talk freely." These people talk in code a little bit, and they're terrible. The grammar from Epstein is terrible, by the way. He doesn't seem to know how to spell or use punctuation. It's very bizarre. But he knew what fast Fourier transforms were. So that's weird. File number 029447, Robert Trivers. He's some famous biologist. Wrote a bunch of stuff, including sending some articles, like one about Peter Thiel's relationship to Donald Trump. What does it mean? We need all the files. We need to know how all these pieces fit together. You know what I mean? The FBI is taking the time to look through this. They know how these pieces fit together. Why can't we find that out? 030214 is an email from Peter Thiel. There's actually a couple of these. Another one you can find, 031568. It just says, "That was fun. See you in 3 weeks." Okay. So 030214, it is Epstein saying, emailing Peter Thiel saying, any interest in Woody Allen? And Peter Thiel writes, would be cool to meet him sometime, but don't go out of the way to make this happen. Are we planning something the weekend of the 13th to the 14th? And I want to say this was in the news that this whole being on the schedule was a thing. So this is the actual document. If I'm thinking of the right event that Peter Thiel was on the calendar for Epstein. 13th afternoon, you and I, then Bill Burns, the diplomat's diplomat, eyeing dinner with Woody, all casual. If you choose, we can bring in Kathy Ruemmler, former Obama counsel for 5 years, or even Senator Bob Kerry, former Senate intelligence. I mean, what's up with this? What's up with Peter Thiel and Woody Allen? But, you know, Woody Allen was also, if you listen to the show we did about the 50th birthday book, he was also in that. And in that episode, we talked about how he wrote in the book something about going to Castle Dracula with three young vampire girls. And I was alluding to the idea of cannibalism or drinking blood, maybe being involved with that. File 022624. Epstein forwards Alan Dershowitz some right-wing article about Clinton messing around with girls on Epstein Island. And there's some stuff redacted from the email of what Dershowitz replied to Epstein with, which I found interesting. Some of the stuff is redacted, as we'll talk about when we get to Virginia Giuffre. File number 018827. It's a 2019 email where they're talking about a Netflix documentary called Filthy Rich, based on James Patterson's book that he wrote about Epstein. And Tim Malloy, who's a TV journalist, tells Peggy Siegel, that's a Hollywood publicist, that Tim and James Patterson are consulting with Netflix to make this series. And they asked Peggy if she would give some insight into the life of Epstein, because Peggy was his PR lady. She set up a bunch of his celebrity dinners and such. And Peggy is forwarding this exchange over to Epstein. Epstein then forwards this exchange to Steve Bannon. And then Bannon and Epstein proceed to talk about it. And Bannon says, Patterson, the perversion of justice team, and the guy making the Ted Bundy film sounds like a potential hagiography. Because he's referring to the people producing the Netflix documentary. And hagiography means the writing of the lives of saints, which means, for this instance, it's propaganda to make someone look good, which means the producers were apparently digging around to find some positive spin about Epstein, perhaps. They go on to talk about how the people involved, like Berlinger, is a hack and Patterson's just some old loser. All right. So that's a taste of what I found digging through it. And here's a search word count, because I was searching for a bunch of keywords, right? Because I'm not going to read through 20,000 texts. What I did was I downloaded all the files in a zip, extracted all the text files into one giant text file, and then I searched through it and so on. But if you search for these terms in the first batch of texts, which is a ton of messages, I'm gonna give you the top five searches that I was looking for. Number five, Summers, as in Larry Summers, came in 632 times he's mentioned. All right. At number four, we got Obama at 1,673. And barely edging him out, Bannon, as in Steve Bannon, 1,780 mentions, with emails going back to 2018. And apparently this is also news, because nobody knew that they were buddies for this long. Then at number two, we got Clinton. This includes the Hillary and Bill, just the term Clinton, at 2,455, and taking the number one spot. The clear and present winner of the most mentions on the Epstein file is Trump at 7,855. Boy, were these guys close. They really talked to each other and thought a lot about each other. Now, to be fair, I will be fully transparent. The messages that I'm looking through, some of them are emails, some of them are like manuscripts from books, some of them are news articles. So it's not saying that Epstein wrote Trump 7,855 times. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the name is mentioned that many times if you go through the first, that's for the first batch. The second one I haven't even dug into yet. Now let's talk about what some of the stories that you may have seen on the media and Reddit and so on. Larry Summers was emailing Epstein and he said, Donald is a clown, increasingly dangerous on foreign policy. Shots fired. Then their Politico found that Peter Thiel may have went to the island. In one 2018 exchange, Epstein asked PayPal founder Peter Thiel, an ally of J.D. Vance, if he was enjoying Los Angeles. Epstein also complimented Thiel on his Trump exaggerations, not lies. Can't complain thus far, Thiel answered, to which Epstein replied, December, visit me, Caribbean. Then we find out that Trump was definitely always on Epstein's mind. I'm going to read to you from Radar Online. According to messages that were released by Democrats on the House Oversight Committee today, and let me back up. Originally, the first batch of releases came from the Democrats, and then the second, like the 20,000 plus, apparently came from the Republicans in the House Oversight Committee. I don't understand how the two differ, but there's two different drops. The first one was strictly from Democrats. The second one's from Republicans, I guess. The documents dropped. The disgraced financier referred to Trump in emails with Ghislaine Maxwell and author Michael Wolff for over 8 years. From approximately 2014 to 2019, Wolff recorded over 100 hours of conversation with Epstein, detailing their contact was a working relationship for several book projects, including Fire and Fury, which recounted the first Trump administration. Wolff emailed Epstein in a December 15, 2015 email with the subject, Heads Up. This was the day the Republican primary debate aired on CNN. In the exchange, Wolff told Epstein he had heard CNN was planning to ask Trump tonight about his relationship with you, either on air or in a scrum afterwards. If we were able to craft an answer for him, what do you think it should be? Epstein asked him. I think you should let him hang himself. If he says he hasn't been on the plane or to the house, then that gives you a valuable PR and political currency, Wolff responded. What they're saying is that Trump was, in fact, in the house and on the island. And if Trump denied that during the debate, then Epstein could use that as blackmail because that was his whole thing. But it also makes you wonder what Wolff's connections with all this is, right? You can hang him in a way that potentially generates a positive benefit for you, or if it really looks like he could win, you could save him generating a debt. Of course, it is possible that when asked, he'll say Jeffrey is a great guy and has gotten a raw deal and is a victim of political correctness, which is to be outlawed in a Trump regime. This was back in 2015, all right? Now, I want you to know that Epstein got arrested in 2019 when Trump was president, and he supposedly died. Killed himself. I'm convinced, not that this is news, but I'm convinced that he was either murdered or he's still alive. And this suggests either one could be the truth here, because he apparently had some dirt, and he talked to Michael Wolff about this sort of bargaining chip he had. His get out of jail free card. He got out of jail all right. The question is, was it in a body bag or in a witness protection program type thing? You know what I mean? It's pretty wild. But the media doesn't really take that conspiratorial mind of any of this stuff, but I do. Caroline Leavitt fired back at the emails regarding Trump being leaked today, calling them selectively leaked emails the Democrats sent to the liberal media to create a fake narrative to smear President Trump, which also, by the way, same exact thing Alex Jones said, because he's also part of the this new MAGA stream media. In one email Leavitt was referring to, dated April 2nd, 2011, Epstein wrote to Maxwell, I want you to realize that dog that hasn't barked is Trump. Virginia spent hours at my house with him. He has never once been mentioned. Police chief, etc. I'm 75% there. And then Ghislaine wrote back, I have been thinking about that. In the initial email that had been leaked, Virginia Giuffre's name had been redacted and labeled as victim. Levitt fumed over this as well, stating the unnamed victim referenced in these emails is the late Virginia Giuffre, who repeatedly said President Trump was not involved in any wrongdoing whatsoever and couldn't have been friendlier to her in their limited interactions. And that is true. Virginia Giuffre did say that Trump, she'd never seen him do anything wrong. She had a strange story too, though, right? She was hit by a bus and she said she was going to die in 4 hours. She lived, and then within a few weeks, she kills herself. I mean, it's a bizarre story. The whole thing is bizarre. Nothing really adds up. That's why everybody wants the full Epstein file. I'm going to keep reading from Radar Online. In another email from 2018, Barack Obama's White House lawyer Catherine Rumel sent Epstein a link to a piece about Michael Cohen, Trump's former attorney who pled guilty to violating campaign finance laws in regard to paying hush money to adult actress Stormy Daniels. Quote, "You see, I know how dirty Donald is. My guess is that non-lawyers, New York biz people, have no idea what it means to have your fixer flip." Epstein replied hang on one second here. I got to like make sense of this here. Sorry, I had to scramble to get this done. Okay, that's what Epstein said. Epstein said, "You see, I know how dirty Donald is. My guess is that non-lawyers, New York biz people have no idea what it means to have your fixer flip." I guess that's Michael Cohen's the fixer, right? And he flipped on Trump. In her posthumous memoir, Giuffre asserted Trump did nothing wrong. Trump, in a prior interview, asserted he expelled Epstein from his club for poaching spa employees, one of whom was Giuffre. In a 2019 email to Wolf, Epstein acknowledged being thrown out of Mar-a-Lago. This is what he said. Quote, "Trump said he asked me to resign. Never a member ever. Of course he knew about the girls as he asked Ghislaine to stop." What does that mean? I would love to know what that means. Did he want Ghislaine to stop talking about it? Did he want Ghislaine to stop procuring girls? We don't know. Maxwell was recently interviewed and, like Giuffre, said Trump did nothing wrong and was not involved in any of Epstein's criminal activities. And I've got my feelings about that, right? I mean, it seems like people are getting a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You know what I mean? Like, now she's staying in some cozy white collar prison. She gets a puppy and cooked meals, special meals, and all kinds of stuff. Is it because she said Trump did nothing wrong? Did Virginia Giuffre say that because she was fearful of her life? I don't know. Or did he do nothing wrong? I mean, that's an option too. We need to know the full scope of everything. We need to know all of it. Otherwise, we're going to sit here and try to fill in the blanks. The meaning of the dog that hasn't barked is something we need to look at. This goes back to Sherlock Holmes and a story called The Silver Blaze. Silver Blaze is a racehorse that gets stolen and its trainer is murdered. And Sherlock solves it by saying how curious it was that the guard dog didn't bark at all during all of that, meaning the dog's silence meant the perpetrator was known by the dog. All right. And the Google AI tells me that it's a term used metaphorically in various fields like business, politics, and critical thinking to draw attention to something that is conspicuously missing, silent, or unmentioned, which suggests a hidden truth or an underlying reality. And I read it as saying Trump isn't barking at Epstein because he knows, meaning he's also part of the same people doing the same stuff. It's the mystery of life that he wrote about in the Epstein birthday book. You know? Moving on. In another document from January 23rd, 2016, email, Epstein dumped Clinton because Clinton is a liar. Epstein charged that Clinton contradicted himself. He said, "He swore with wholehearted conviction to me that he had done something," Epstein wrote, before clarifying, "He had forgotten that he also swore the exact opposite to me only weeks before." What are they talking about? December 17th, 2016, email shows Epstein is at Palm Beach with all of Trump's people. Of course, this is after the 2016 election. Epstein was hanging out with Trump this whole time. In fact, he was hanging out with Trump while Trump was president on Thanksgiving. We just found out. Raw Story reported this. They said Epstein exchanged emails on Thanksgiving morning, November 23rd, 2017, with Manhattan modeling management guru Faith Cates, who asked where he was spending the holiday. The disgraced financier told her he would spend the day with Eva, likely a reference to his former girlfriend, Eva Anderson Dubin. And Cates mentions Anderson Dubin's husband, Glenn Dubin, by name and asks, who else is down there? Epstein names Trump, hedge fund founder David Faisal, and someone else he referred to as Hansen. White House records and contemporaneous media reports show Trump spent Thanksgiving 2017 at Mar-a-Lago, but the White House did not disclose a guest list. So that's pretty interesting, and I'll tell you why in the conclusion, why that's really interesting. We also find out that Epstein thought Trump was evil beyond belief. That's saying a lot from Epstein, right? Disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein once tried to warn people about President Donald Trump, calling him evil beyond belief and nuts, according to new released documents from the case. In an email from 2018, Epstein wrote to a reporter that Trump feels alone and is nuts. The email was sent during Trump's first administration, shortly after Trump announced the first set of tariffs. I told everyone from day one, evil beyond belief, mad, and most thought I was speaking metaphorically. It is obvious he could crack. Stormy Daniels? Lies and lies and lies and lies. And later, Epstein even says Donald has dementia. We call him Dementia Donald. In one email exchange in January 2018, Epstein commented on a statement Trump gave in response to journalist Michael Wolff's book about the Trump administration. No questions. Donald's statement was goofy. Early dementia, Epstein wrote. We also confirmed that Epstein shares girls with Trump. If you go to BP Daily, it says this. Epstein was also in contact with former New York Times finance reporter Thomas Landon Jr., whom he offered images of Trump alongside women in bikinis. On December 8, 2015, Epstein asked Landon Jr., would you like photos of Donald and girls in bikinis in my kitchen? Yes, the then New York Times journalist responded to, which Epstein replied, Hawaiian Tropic girl Lauren Petrella. In another reply, Epstein sent Landon Jr. a link to an article about Norwegian cosmetics heiress and businesswoman Selena Middlefart. He wrote next to the link, my 20-year-old girlfriend in 93 that after 2 years I gave to Donald. Something else weird. Epstein also refers to tightening the noose too slowly, referring to Trump, which really makes me wonder about the whole story about Epstein hanging himself or if he was killed. It says, Epstein also conversed with attorney and former White House counsel to Barack Obama, Katherine Ruemmler, in December 2018. You might want to tell your Dem friends that treating Trump like a mafia don ignores the fact that he has great, dangerous power. Tightening the noose too slowly risks a very bad situation. Gambino was never the commander-in-chief. There was little Gambino could do as the walls closed in. Not so with this maniac. Epstein says that Trump lies to everyone and he has no friends. In April 2018, Epstein told Emirati businessman Sultan Ahmad bin Salem that Trump had no friends. Quote, Donald is close to no one. He talks to many people. He tells each one something different. So it seems like lots of shots fired at Trump from Epstein. And I don't know at what point this became a thing where they decided they weren't going to hang out. They were obviously hanging out up as recent as Thanksgiving 2017. But before we hit the in conclusion, let's talk a little bit about the response from the media, the damage control being done. You know, Alex Jones is saying that Democrats are cherry picking data to make Trump look bad because he's obviously in Trump's, you know, camp there. In the Megyn Kelly November 12th show, she is saying, hey, You know what? 15-year-olds are better than 5-year-olds. I'm not making that up. If you go to, this is from Media Matter, so I know, like a leftist source, sure. But they say that this is on the Megyn Kelly November 12th show. They give you the transcript. It says, she said, as for Epstein, I've said this before, but just as a reminder, I do know somebody very, very close to the case who is in position to know virtually everything. Not everything, but virtually everything. And this person has told me from the start, years and years ago, that Jeffrey Epstein, in this person's view, was not a P-E-D-O. This is the person's view, who was there for a lot of this, but that he was into the barely legal type. Like, he liked 15-year-old girls. And I realize this is disgusting. I'm definitely not trying to make an excuse for this. I'm just giving you the facts. That he wasn't into, like, 8-year-olds. But he liked the very young teen types that could pass for even younger than they were, but would look legal to a passerby. And that is what I believed. And that is what I reliably was told for many years. And it wasn't until we heard from Pam Bondi that they had tens of thousands of videos of alleged, forgive me, they used to call it Kitty P. Now they call it Child S.A. material on his computer, that for the first time I thought, oh, he was an actual P-E-D-O. I mean, only a, you know what, gets off on young child SA videos. She's never clarified it. I don't know whether it's true. I have to be honest, I don't really trust Pam Bondi's word on the Epstein matters anymore. Neither do I. In fact, she said that those videos don't exist. So, I mean, do they exist or they don't exist? Who knows? Then the guest, Batia Ungar-Sargon, said, or anything else. Then Kelly says, yeah, so I don't know what's true about him, but we have yet to see anybody come forward and say, I was under 10, I was under 14 when I first came within his purview. You can say that's a distinction without a difference, which I do say that. I think there is a difference. There's a difference between a 15-year-old and a 5-year-old, you know? And here's the thing, is I don't disagree with what she's saying there entirely. I do think there's a degree of separation, but it's almost like saying one type of murder is better than another. You know what I mean? I kind of get what she's coming at, but I also think, are they trying to soften this image right now? Because that's what it seems like. The New York Post is saying that this Michael Wolff guy is like super shady, which I've heard that in the past. I don't know enough about him. I have heard that he's kind of a messed up dude or something. And the article is titled, listen to the tinge on it, Trump obsessed writer Michael Wolff encouraged Jeffrey Epstein to blackmail then presidential candidate. Discredited author Michael Wolff once encouraged Jeffrey Epstein to blackmail then presidential candidate Donald Trump, insisting the convicted PEDO could generate a debt from him. I think we talked about the exact thing, right? Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to reread all that. But anyways, it goes on to say the author and journalist has made a career profiting off of Trump's presidency. In Wolf's first book, Fire and Fury, sold almost 2 million copies in the first 3 weeks. He then would go on to write 3 more books about Trump being in power. And we read through the email where they were talking about if during the debates, if what would happen if Trump was asked about Epstein, and they talked about how, well, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe you can use this to your advantage, right? And, you know, do the things you got to do. So, and then Wolf calls, he says, yeah, you're the Trump bullet, is what he says to Epstein. I didn't read any of those parts. And then he says, New York Times called me about you and Trump. Also, Hillary campaign digging deeper. You should consider. Okay, yeah, we talked about this already, about the emails. Right before the election, Wolf again suggested Epstein could tank Trump's campaign with an email that said now could be the time. And he says now there's an opportunity to come forward this week and talk about Trump in such a way that could garner you great sympathy and help finish him. Are you interested? Which is, I don't know. So, like, I think Michael Wolf seemed to have a beef with Trump. I don't know how these pieces fit together. It's all very strange. This is all behind the scenes type stuff, right? But Michael Wolff also doing damage control, because Michael Wolff, he's a journalist, right? And he's in these emails. He's advising Epstein. So his neutrality as a journalist is shifting into collaboration. And they're talking about leveraging blackmail on Trump. And his response was reported on by Huffington Post, and they said Wolf claimed he had been trying to talk about the story for a very long time now, and the newly released emails are a sign that this is, well, perhaps we're getting close to the smoking gun. Epstein and Trump had the closest of relationships for more than a decade and shared everything, including airplanes, women, and business and financial advice, Wolf said. You know, it's curious that Epstein's relationship with so many people in public life has damaged them considerably, but the one person who he was closest to has not been held accountable. That's Donald Trump. Wolf then noted he released his own tapes of Epstein talking about his relationship to Trump to really little effect before the election. The journalist ended the video by noting that he had sued First Lady Melania Trump last month for trying to stop him from reporting and writing about her alleged ties to Epstein. The lawsuit will allow me to ask the questions of her, of her husband, and the many people surrounding their relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. So everyone's kind of scrambling. Now you can see why the timing of this is pretty wild too, right? Because they just reopened the government. Russell Vought sent a letter to all the agencies telling them, you know, that congratulations, we're back in business. It's time to usher in Trump's golden age of America, again with the golden age symbolism right here. But the bigger point is that everyone involved here on these lists are scrambling. Trump's lying. As if that's a shocking news revelation for anybody. Because in 2019, after Epstein got arrested and they asked him about him, he said, I hadn't spoke to him in 15 years, which means 2004, right? Which people then started saying, oh yeah, they had a falling out because, you know, he found out in 2004 that Epstein was messing with kids, and he was like, not on my watch, and kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. Then the story changed to, well, they had a falling out because he got outbid on some property in Palm Beach. Then the story changed, and then a few months ago, Trump himself claimed that he had a falling out with Epstein after Epstein stole some girls that worked for him at Mar-a-Lago, which we later found out was Virginia Giuffre. But the emails tell an entirely different story, because now he's hanging out with Epstein for Thanksgiving in 2017 while he's the president. You know, and recall in 2019, Epstein killed himself, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, after he got arrested again. And recall that Trump's attorney, Todd Blanche, visited Ghislaine Maxwell to see what she would speak about if given the chance. Next thing you know, she's being transferred to a minimum security prison. She's got a puppy and special meals and stuff. And the Trump administration has never answered why that transfer to a federal prison camp in Texas happened. And he's even thinking about pardoning her, which wouldn't be a surprise because his track record of pardons isn't so great. He pardoned the Binance founder CZ, who was claimed to be allowing funding of SA stuff on his exchange. And the Jan Sixers that he released or pardoned, they all, you know, there's, they all got arrested again. Not all of them. Several of them got arrested again. For one of them, soliciting a minor, that's Andrew Tate. Possession of child SA material, that's David Daniel. Reckless homicide while driving drunk, Shane Woods. And then Theodore Middendorf was sentenced for 19 years for SAing a 7-year-old. Probably lots of stuff that's going to come out of these files is what I'm saying. And this is why they were scrambling. This is why they didn't want to release them. This is why they shut the government down. This is why Mike Johnson wouldn't swear in the new Democrat who was going to vote to release all the Epstein files. This is why Trump is scrambling to talk to Nancy Mace and Lauren Boebert. This is why he's got the whole MAGA news media under his thumb and the payroll. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. If you want to talk about a conspiracy, this is a conspiracy of all conspiracies, right? Because it connects all these types of people. And it's not just on the right. It's on the left, too. You know? It's international. Mr. International Worldwide. You know what I'm saying? So there you go. That's the first stab at it. I'm sure there'll be more. I still haven't downloaded the second set of emails. I got to go download those and look through them. But for now I got to go, and I'm doing my big mega special with Joel Thomas, which you're going to see about real soon. It's going to be really good. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. But anyways, thank you for your support. And this is your November bonus show. I appreciate you all supporting the show. You guys keep the show alive. I say that, I mean that. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And then also, one plug for the people that are on Patreon or VIP section. I've said this before, but just in case you didn't catch it, I shifted the tiers around over the last year, right? So tier one gets you basically, you know, the audio, all the stuff, right? Early access. You also get your 10% off merch code, which you can use at occultsymbolism.com now. And I had to update the codes. So check the show notes if you want the 10% off code for VIP section or Patreon. You can get shirts. The coffee's the only thing I can't give you a 10% off because of the profit margins. And then tier two, earlier this year, I think it was this year, I reduced it from $20 to $10. That's the video version of the show. I'm putting a lot more effort and work into the video version. Today's video, I not a lot I can really show you that's great, but I try to put images of what I'm talking about on the screen. And then tier three is still all the ebooks I've ever written with all the other stuff. But now tier three and tier four, you get exclusive shirts. I printed off exclusive shirts only for tier three and tier four members. It's the podcast shirt with the inner circle logo, inner circle on the back, or Grand Architect if you're tier four. I shot you emails if you're tier three or four. Check your emails. I asked for your address and shirt sizing. I mail the shirts for, you know, as my way of saying thanks for tier three and four. Okay. Okay. All right. Thanks for the show. Till next time, stay positive.